Whoops. I think I clicked off of it. Okay, we're good. Hello, everyone. This is Dr. Roger Paul. And tonight we are going to continue our study on paper 49. And this is the series on UFOs in your Urantia book. And last time I said we were going to wrap this up at the end, but this time we definitely will wrap it up. And for y'all at home, I am going to make a statement about what we've been studying at the end of this lesson tonight. So no one hang up and leave on me real quick, like sometimes happens. I think the statement I'm going to make is probably one of the most important statements I've ever made in studying this book or anything else. So please stay with me when we get through the reading tonight, and I'll just take just a couple minutes, and there's some stuff I need to talk to y'all about and let you know about, that as cosmic citizens, you have the right to know, and you need to know. You really do. All right.
Yeah,
so
there won't be any discussion.
There won't be much discussion. I'm just going to make a statement of, and that's pretty much it. Okay, so we're going to wrap up our UFO thing and the Urantia book. Now, there are other things in the book that relate to this, and we're going to talk about some of these in the Urantia papers. You know, where the Mansion World papers starting Thursday, and then in the Urantia worlds too. So there, a lot of that relates to that, but the actual study of the UFO and how it relates to Urantia, but really ends with paper 49, because once you understand paper 49, you understand how we're just one part of a cosmic citizenship, right? There's lots and lots of other beings in our universe, just like us. Well, not exactly just like us. They have different bodies and different wishes and things like that, but they are human just like us. So, and then there's other beings too, and just millions of them. So let's get started. We stopped on 6-5 last time, so we're on 6-6 this morning, tonight, and I'm gonna let Diane start out reading for us here.
The group guardians assignment to the sleeping survivors. Oh really?
Hello?
Okay.
Diane's muted.
No.
Okay. While the older worlds of mortal existence harbored those highly developed and exquisitely spiritual types of human beings who are virtually exempt from the Urantia life, the earlier ages of the animal origin races are characterized by primitive mortals who are so immature that fusion with their adjusters is impossible. The reawakening of these mortals is accomplished by the guardian seraphim in conjunction with an individualized portion of the immortal spirit of the third source and center.
Okay, so first they talk about the older worlds that are so highly developed, the beings coming from those worlds were almost exempt from the Urantia life. So they're going stepping right from the human or the mortal into the spiritual life instead of going through the Urantia life. But these are beings that's been on planets that's been around for billions of years, right? Settled in light and life for long periods of time. But they talk about that the primitive mortals on every planet, not just our planet, are many of them are so immature that even after death, they're not able to fuse with their adjusters if they get an adjuster. Okay, so those mortals are reawakened. And what happens to them is they're giving a portion of the immortal spirit, the third source and spirit. So they become spirit fused mortals. And most of them stay in the local universe. They don't go on the ascension plan. Now, some of them can, but most of them do not. Okay, so that's what they're talking about here. But they're taking to the mansion worlds just like we are. They're taking by their guardian seraphim, and then they're reawakening on the mansion worlds. They just are not high enough to be able to fuse with an adjuster. All right, Jane, will you take the next one, please?
Thus are the sleeping survivors of a planetary age repersonalized in the dispensational role calls. But with regard to the non-salvable personalities of a realm, no immortal spirit is present to function with the group guardians of destiny. And this constitutes cessation of creature existence. While some of your records have pictured these events as taking place on the planets of mortal death, they all really occur on the mentioned worlds.
So these are the people that never make a decision to follow God in their life, right? They don't recognize God the Father. They don't understand God the Father. They don't try to communicate with him. And what happens is they do not develop that immortal soul that normal people do, right? So when they die without that immortal soul, there's nothing to reconnect to when they try to take them to the mansion world. So they cease to exist, right? Because they've not developed that soul and they've not developed a religious concept within themselves. All right. So when they die, it stops. They never reawaken on the mansion worlds. Okay.
So, hey, Roger, I had a question.
Yeah.
The sleeping survivors, that's in reference to our world and then the other worlds that they're describing right now.
All
April
of
49.
Them. Yeah. All, okay. All planets, it works the same way. If those beings do not reawaken on the third day on the mansion worlds, they're considered sleeping survivors and they will be awakened on a roll call, a dispensational roll call. Okay. Just like our planet. Okay. All right. Rodney, would you take the next one, please?
Yes. Number two, correct?
Yes. Yes.
Mortals of the individual orders of ascension. The individual progress of human beings is measured by their successive attainment and traversal mastery of the seven cosmic circles. These circles of mortal progression are levels of associated intellectual, social, spiritual, and cosmic insight values. Starting out in the seventh circle, mortals strive for the first, and all who have attained the third immediately have personal guardians of destiny assigned to them. These mortals may be repersonalized in the Marantia life, independent of dispensational or other adjudications.
Okay, so what's this saying? It's saying that if you reach the third cosmic circle or psychic circle, then you automatically are assigned two guardian angels, and on the third day after death, you awaken on the mansion worlds. Now, I want to go to another paper here, the link to this as the cosmic circles, and the circles are different than what you would expect. You would think you'd start on the first and work your way up to seventh. No, it's not that way. You start on the seventh, and you work your way up to the first. Okay. And I want to kind of read through just the psychic circles a little bit here so that you understand what they're talking about here. So when you're in the seventh circle, you have one pair of seraphic guardians for 1,000 mortals. All right. And this is the entry upon development of your own moral responsibilities. And that's where you start out on that first circle. Okay. The sixth circle is you have one pair of seraphic guardians for every 500 mortals, okay? The fifth circle, you have one pair of seraphic guardians for every 100 mortals. The fourth, you have one pair of seraphic guardians for every 10 mortals. And that's just before you jump off into the third circle, right? And then when you move to the third circle, there's a pair of seraphic guardians for each mortal. All right. You also have a pair of Sanamim and can't even think of the name of the other one.
Tershafim.
Huh?
Is it Tershafim?
No. the two smaller.
Omnifem.
No. my brain just went out there. But let's keep
moving. Can I get Seraphim for 500, Alex?
No. All right. So you get a pair of guardian angels when you reach the third circle and two lesser angels that are assigned to you. And with the achievement of that third circle, that brings the thought adjuster to you and the spirit of truth before the spirit of truth is poured out upon all flesh. Okay, so if you achieve that third circle before the spirit of truth is poured off, achieving that third circle would also bring your thought adjuster, because you wouldn't have a thought adjuster like you do at 5.5 before that period of time. All right, then the adjutant mind spirits influences diminish after you reach the third circle. So you have more influence of the seven adjutants before you reach the third circle and less after you reach the third circle. Okay. And then it makes it possible for immediate resurrection for those attaining this circle. All right. And what really keys you in that you've reached this third circle, okay, is that says the subject must attain for adjuster self activity. And now what's that saying? It's saying that you must want the adjuster to influence you and help you in your life. Okay, so that must be a goal. All right, and then they skip the second circle and then they go on to the first, and it says, and when you reach the first circle, and this is really important, the adjuster can speak directly and immediately with you, with the subject. Okay, so if you reach the first circle on this planet, you will hear your adjuster. That's the point I want to make here. Okay, and at this first circle, also the termination occurs of the adjustment mind spirit ministry as an exclusive influence on you. Who influences on it? You on the first circle, the adjuster, the spirit of truth, right? All right. And I thought that was important enough to go through
those. That's an amazing lesson, Roger.
Yeah.
Yes.
Amazing. Thank you so much. May I ask a question?
Please, Jane. Yeah.
Okay. So when we reach the third circle, you started with a statement there.
Yes.
When we reach the third circle is when we enter what the first mentioned word? No.
Yeah. When we reach the third circle, it makes us available, achievable for us to wake up on the mansion world on the third day. That's the indication. Correct. When you reach the third circle. Yeah.
If I could ask two questions, one more.
Please, Jane.
Okay.
Yeah.
So let's say when we are with the thousand,
yes,
you know, you said in the beginning, like the seventh circle.
Right.
With a thousand. Is that, are you saying indirectly or directly perhaps, that there is a thousand, we are kind of in a community having to work together?
No.
Is there a
connection? No, a thousand souls, these guardian seraphim, this pair, can hold a thousand souls in limbo, basically, until a called resurrection. So this pair of seraphim can keep taking new souls onto them until they reach a thousand. At that point, they have to wait till the resurrection to get rid of these souls they're entrusted with, so they can go into their new Marantia bodies. And these
and
are
they
all
don't necessarily know each other.
They don't know each other, but they go as a group at seventh circlers, okay, so that when they're awakened, they could be trained from being seventh circlers other than being trained as a third or fourth or fifth or whatever circle. So they're trained in groups on the mansion world that way. It makes it more convenient for the mansion world. It makes it more convenient for those who are waking up, because they're all like kindred spirits. They're like-minded. Okay.
It's orderly. Yeah.
Yeah. Where if you reach the third circle, you're more of an individual. So they have to train you more like an individual rather than in a group.
So I had a question, Roger.
Yeah.
They mentioned the word psychic, which the way they define the repertoire is it means soul or psyche.
Yeah.
And it's kind of misleading when you say psychic. So it's really based on soul circles, more or less soul decision. So it's based on our values, our morals, and our choices.
And our conduct.
On Earth right now, what circle are we on?
Well, I would, this is my opinion. This is not from the book. My opinion is this. When you start to seek the will of God in your life, I think you step into the third circle, right? Because that is the last thing on this list. Subject mind must attain adjuster self activity. And what is that? We're wanting to do what God the Father wants us to do.
Correct.
That's what it is.
So is that the highest achievement that the soul decision that we can be on right now is the third?
No.
Or can we go all the way up to the seventh soul decision?
We can go up to the first, which is basically listening
adjuster.
And hearing
the
adjuster, right?
Right.
Now, how do you do that? You constantly, every day, every hour, every minute of your life, listen for the will of God.
Wow.
Okay. That's how you get to that circle.
It's like a consciousness.
It's a consciousness.
That's in line with the will of God.
Yeah. Now, since we've been studying UFO stuff, let me say this too. Think of all the billions of mortals outside our planet that are doing the same exact thing. There's billions of them, right? Now, how do we know this? We know this through the infinite spirit's mind circuit. Think about that. We're all interconnected through the mind circuit of the infinite spirit. So really, we're part of a cosmic family constantly. It never stops. It's just realizing that's what we are. All right, let's keep going so we can get through this paper. Millie, I was telling everyone before you came that tonight at the end of this paper, I'm going to make a short statement to close out the UFO stuff. And I'm asking everyone to stay to the end of the statement at least. Because I got some stuff I need to share with y'all that I learned over the weekend that is very important to every single one of us.
Roger, okay? I'll be there.
Yeah. So y'all don't hang up on me tonight.
No problem.
Stick to the end. It'll be a short statement, but you need to hear this stuff. All right. Let's go on to the next paragraph here. All right. Rodney, did you just read or not? Okay. Lesh, would you take the next one?
Okay. Throughout the earlier ages of an evolutionary world, you mortals go to judgment on the third day. But as the ages pass, more and more the personal guardians of destiny are assigned to the advancing mortals, and thus increasing numbers of these evolving creatures are repersonalized on the first mansion world on the third day after natural death. On such occasions, the return of the adjuster signalizes the awakening of the human soul. And this is the repersonalization of the dead, just as literally as when the en masse roll is called at the end of a dispensation on the evolutionary worlds.
So as soon as the adjuster returns to the mansion world, and the soul awakenings and your personalities put back in and you're back on again, right? You're put back together. Now, what do you think brings this more and more of these third day resurrections on? It's the pouring out of the spirit of truth. Because when the spirit of truth was poured out on the world, when Jesus came back, right? At that time, all adjusterless people were giving adjusters. You understand the significance of that? Because they had adjusters, they were more open to what? Spiritual concepts. So the number one, the adjuster could work more spiritualizing their life. More beings will make it to the third circle. So more beings will what? Wake up on the mansion world on the third day. Make sense?
Hey, it Roger, can you define the word soul according to the Revelators?
Oh, Lord, Tim, that's...
It's basically based on our decisions, correct?
It's based
well,
on our...
You went through it last week. Not last week. You went through it on Thursday, Roger.
Yeah, I did.
Remember
when
I brought it up with identity
and... Yeah, and I don't want to rehash that. Tim, I'm going to do this. I'm going to say, I've referred you to last week's. Watch last week's.
Yes, sir.
The soul is a creature.
It's a creature. It's a developing embryo that will wake up when we get to the mansion world.
A budding Marantia consciousness.
That's a budding Marantia consciousness. That's
there you
right.
go.
All right. Bill, would you take the next one, please?
Sure. There are three groups of individual ascenders. The less advanced land on the initial or first mansion world. The more advanced group may take up the Marantia career on any of the intermediate mansion worlds in accordance with previous planetary progression. The most advanced of these orders really begin their Marantia experience on the seventh mansion world.
Okay, now everybody calm down. Don't get too excited, okay? Because the next paragraph's going to bring you back down to life again, okay? All right, so let's move on to the next paragraph. Millie, would you take it, please? Millie, can you hear me?
Yes, I'm sorry. I didn't hear you ask for
it. Yeah, would you take
the number three, question? Mortals of the probationary dependent orders of ascendance. The arrival of the adjuster constitutes identity in the eyes of the universe, and all indwelt beings are on the roll calls of justice. But temporal life on the evolutionary worlds is uncertain, and many die in youth before choosing the paradise career. Such adjuster indwelt children and youths follow the parent of most advanced spiritual status, thus going to the system finality world, the probationary nursery on the third day, and a special resurrection or at the regular millennial and dispensational roll calls.
Okay, so two things here. First of all,
The nursery, when they get called on the roll?
Yeah, the nursery, well, they call it on the roll call because if they're sleeping, survivors and their parents are not awakened on the third day, Millie, then they have to wait till the parents are awakened on a roll call. Okay. And then since they're assigned, they're attached to their children are attached to the parents, they can't awaken the children until the parent, one of the two parents get there. Okay. Now, if neither of the parents survive, they're awakened immediately and then assigned to someone like me that has never had children. Okay. Because everyone has to have the experience of raising children. And my cats don't count, unfortunately. I have 57 of them children. All right. Okay. Now, what I was talking about, don't get too excited here on that previous paragraph, all right, is this. Even if you skip any of the mansion worlds, now it doesn't matter how many of them you skip, okay? If you wake up on the seventh, when you wake up on the seventh, then you have to go back as a teacher to the previous world, so you don't get skip anything. Okay, so that's why I'm saying don't get too excited. You still have to have that experience. The children, however, if they die in youth, they wake up when they're one of the two parents show up on the mansion world. And it, like we just said, if they have to wait to a dispensational roll call, then they those children have to wake up until their parents wake up 1,000 years later or whenever it is. Okay, because they're attached to the parents. The parents still have the opportunity to raise them. Okay. And we're going to find that out.
Yes. I have a question.
Yeah.
Let's say a child is lost before, before birth.
Right.
Are they also in the probationary nursery waiting for a parent?
That's what I would assume, Bill. That's exactly what I would assume, because they're not sentient beings until they're actually born. right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's the way it works. Okay. So since they're not sentient beings yet, then they fall in the category of wards of the guardian angels and the super universe, right?
Right.
Okay.
Does that apply to aborted babies?
I would think so, Jane. I can't tell you that mm-hmm. for sure. It does not say in the book that's the case. I can only speculate on that, but that's what I would speculate too.
Well, because we can take the announcement to Mary and how it is told in the book that the announcement to Mary was made the day after she conceived.
Conception, right?
Yeah, the day after conception.
That's what I would think too. That's what that's why I'd say those babies would be wards of what? The universe, the guardian angels. That's right. That's right. Okay, because if they're aborted, then they would be what? Unwanted by their parents, as far as the universe goes, right? So those unwanted babies, who would raise them? People who get to the mansion worlds who had not had the opportunity during their mortal life to raise at least three children, okay?
Yeah.
That's very good.
That would be me.
Yeah, that would be me too, Letch.
That would be me.
Okay.
I just wanted to tell you that my computer, my microphone, it made the sound and then it cut me off and I had to restart.
That's just totally inexcusable, Tim.
Okay, thank you.
I'm joking. okay, Tim, would you take the next paragraph?
Yes, hold on. Let me. Okay, here we go. Here we go. Where are we at?
613.
Okay, in due course, thought
Hang on. Oh, okay. I'm sorry. 612, Tim. I skipped one.
Children who die when too young to have thought adjusters are repersonalized on the finality world of the local systems, concomitant with the arrival of either parent on the mansion worlds. A child acquires physical entity at mortal birth. But in the matter of survival, all adjusterless children are reckoned as still attached to their parents.
There we go. See, that's where it says a child acquires physical entity at mortal birth. You see
what is that? Oh, okay. Yeah.
Physical entity at mortal birth. But the survival of all adjustable children, that's what we're talking about here, are reckoned still attached to their parents. For instance, if you and your husband or wife were pregnant with a baby and it died before birth, they would still be attached to you. You see what I'm saying? That's where I get that from. Okay. Mm-hmm. Because they're not actual born yet. They're still attached to you. All right. Let's go on. Diane, you take the next one, please.
In due course, thought adjusters come to indwell these little ones with the seraphic ministry to both groups of the probationary dependent orders of survival is in general similar to that of the more advanced parent or is equivalent to that of the parent in case only one survives. Those attaining the third circle, regardless of the status of their parents, are accorded personal guardians.
There you go. So as soon as they attain the third circle, once they're awakened on these worlds, they are given adjusters just like we are, right? All right. And Jane, would you take the next one, please?
Similar probation nurseries are maintained on the finaliter spheres of the constellation and the universe headquarters for the adjusterless children of the primary and secondary modified orders of ascenders.
And we studied these primary and secondary modified orders, remembered in previous sections, right? Those who don't breathe and that sort of thing. All right. All right. Rodney, would you take the next one?
615, right?
Yeah, 615.
Four, mortals of the secondary modified orders of ascension. These are the progressive human beings of the intermediate evolutionary worlds.
There you are.
Hey, Gary.
It's Gary. Gary.
There's a rule.
Am I late? Huh? Must be late. What time is it?
6:36.
Well, these guys didn't wake me up.
Well, I'm sorry, Gary. You're going to get a treat at the end of this anyway, so hang in there. All right. I got a little statement to say that everybody in the world needs to hear, and that's the truth. So don't go nowhere. All right.
Oh, it's in Annie. This woman over my shoulder is my sister.
Oh, okay. Hi, and, sister.
Hi.
It's Hello. My sister, Donna.
Hi, and welcome, Donna.
Hi, Donna. Welcome, Donna.
And
I'm listening in.
That's fine.
All right.
All right. We might shock you tonight for a change. All right, let's keep going.
Okay, number four. Mortals of the secondary modified orders of ascension. These are the progressive human beings of the intermediate evolutionary worlds. As a rule, they are not immune to natural death, but they are exempt from passing through the seven mansion worlds.
And why is this? Because they're on a higher spiritual development level than we are, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah. So they're exempt from going through the mansion worlds to get rid of what? The mark of the beast, right? All of our beastly tendencies, which we have a lot of them, right? Okay.
Where are those worlds?
Where are all those worlds scattered throughout all over the universe, Rodney?
In the constellations? Didn't we just read that?
Billions and billions and billions of them, right? All right. Wait, Letch, would you take the next one, please?
616.
Yeah.
Okay. The less perfected group reawaken on the headquarters of their local system, passing by only the mansion worlds. The intermediate group go to the constellation training worlds. They pass by the entire Morantia regime of the local system. Still farther on in the planetary ages of spiritual striving, many survivors awaken on the constellation headquarters, and there begin the paradise ascent.
So we know if they're in the constellation headquarters, they would be reawakened as what? Spiritual beings, not morontial beings, because they would have skipped the entire local universe, right? Mm. They would awaken on the constellation. All right. Gary, would you take the next one, please?
Okay. But before any of these groups may go forward, they must journey back as instructors to the worlds they missed, gaining many experiences as teachers in those realms which they passed by as students. They are subsequently processed to paradise by the ordained, ordained routes of mortal progression.
Okay, so they don't get out of anything either. They all have to go back to mansion world number one and go, as teachers, and go all the way through it. So there is no shortcuts, right? That's the way
it works. You're saying like they have to go back to a planet like us and then die and go on and progress?
No, they don't go back that far, Gary. They only go to the first mansion, back to the first mansion world.
Okay, they go to the first Morantia world.
Right.
Okay.
I had a question, Roger.
Yeah, Tim.
These sections, these numbers, like, you know, like what Gary just read, Mortals of the Primary Modified Order,
right.
1 through 5. So far, are these in reference to like the non-breathers, that list that they have in 49?
Well, yeah. Okay. Yeah, that's the previous meetings we went through in this paper. Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
So if you didn't get a chance to listen to them, Tim, go back and listen to them. They're worth listening to.
Okay,
I've listened
you.
To every single one of them twice. So.
No, but it's also in the introductory, you know, where they say non-breather types, you know, the atmospheric type. Okay, thank you.
Yeah, okay. All right, Millie, would you take the next one?
Yes. Mortals of the Primary Modified Order of Ascension. These mortals belong to the adjuster-fused type of evolutionary life, but they are most often representative of the final phase of human development on an evolving world. These glorious beings are exempt from passing through the portals of death. They are submitted to the sudden seizure. They are translated from among the living and appear immediately in the presence of the sovereign sun, the headquarters of the local universe.
So if you fuse with your adjuster, you'll immediately proceed and wake up right in front of Jesus, right?
Right, hey, Roger.
And the head.
I'll take that out.
Yeah.
What does that word mean, sun seizure?
Sun seizure. That's the Son of God. In other words, because they fuse with the adjuster, they're seized by the sun immediately and brought right in front of him to hear their well done, my good and faithful
son. Okay, thank you. Our creator, yes. Son Michael.
Our creator, Son Michael. Sun seizure. Oh,
beautiful. Right?
Okay. So that's what you get if you get to that point of fusion in this life. All right. Bill, would you take the next one, please?
Sure. This primary modified order.
No, it's the next one, Bill.
The next one up. These are the mortals who fuse with their adjuster during mortal life. And such adjuster-fused personalities traverse space freely before being clothed with Morantia forms. These fused souls go by direct adjuster transit to the resurrection halls of the higher Morantia spheres, where they receive their initial Morantia investiture, just as do all other mortals arriving from the evolutionary world.
Now, what's different? You travel to the Morantia spheres by the adjuster. By adjuster transit, you don't need your guardian angel to take you there. That's what's different, right?
How do we travel, though?
We travel space by sun seizure. We immediately traverse space to stand before Jesus, okay, or Michael, right? Then after we hear the well done, my good and faithful servant, the adjuster immediately takes us to the mansion worlds where we need to be, and that is where we get our Morantia bodies, or what they call here the initial Morantia investiture, right?
So we're not in Seraphim?
We're not in Seraphim, no.
And then I was just asking how we get around in the universe.
It's the adjuster. We traverse the adjuster pathways directly there and directly to the mansion worlds. Then after you get your Morantia form, you'll travel just like all other Morantia beings will, right?
Now you're talking about on this case when they fuse with the adjusters. You're talking people like Enoch,
and Elijah,
Those right. two individuals are the only ones that we know of
that we know of, right?
His feet.
Right. Right.
Maybe it's sort of a flash presence where we're just in the immediate presence of Michael.
Yeah, well, that's one way to look at it. That's why they call Michael's it sun God. Seizure. In other words, Michael immediately pulls you in front of him, by the adjuster pathways.
All right. Because that was my Michael. Question a while back ago. I was like, how do we travel?
Jesus in not this world, but the other world is known as Michael. Abaddon.
Yeah. That's his pre.
Abaddon is the
capital. Oh, well, Abaddon is the local universe.
Okay, you're hearing what I'm telling my sister. Okay, yeah, Abaddon is the
Abaddon is a local universe, and then Salvington is the capital of the local universe. And Michael was known as Michael of Abaddon before he came to Earth and became Jesus. Right, that's correct.
Do you understand that?
It's an order of sons that he's a part of.
Right, right. He's a son of God.
Michael in Hebrew means like God or God-like.
Same name, same person.
Yeah.
We're not Jehovah's Witnesses.
No. Let's go on to the next one because I want to finish this up because I have some important information I need to share with everyone. All right. Who's up next here? Who just read?
I did.
Okay. All right. Tim, would you take the next one then?
These are the mortals. Is that right?
No.
Okay. Yeah, okay.
Next one.
This primary modified order of mortal ascension may apply to individuals in any of the planetary series from the lowest to the highest stages of the adjuster fusion worlds, but it is more frequently functions on the order of these spheres after they have received the benefits of numerous sojourns of the divine suns.
So on these spheres where they've had multiple suns visit and teach them, they're on a higher order. So there's more and more of these beings fusing with their adjusters all along. And it gets to be so many of them that they actually build buildings just for fusion so that their family could come and watch them, because we have all these people that are fusing, multiple people fusing. So people would come into these arenas to watch the fusion, the flash fusion of them being taken up, which is interesting. All right, we got one more paragraph, and I'm going to let Jane do that. Jane, would you read the last paragraph?
Yes. With the establishment of the planetary era of light and life, many go to the universe Morontia worlds by the primary modified order of translation. Further along in the advanced stages of settled experience, when the majority of the mortals leaving a realm are embraced in this class, the planet is regarded as belonging to the Sirius. Natural death becomes decreasingly frequent on these spheres long settled in light and life.
And that was presented by Melchizedek of Jerusalem School of Planetary Administration. Okay, that brings us to the end of this paper. Right. So this tells us that these planets that are long settled and light in life have more and more beings that are exempt from death because they fuse with their adjusters. Right. OK, now I'm going to start my short statement. Since we're ending the series on the UFOs and Urantia book, I think I've tried to show to y'all how this paper especially tells us of all the other beings in the universe, all the different types of beings, billions and billions of them, right? So it's not so strange that we think about the UFOs of being other beings just like us, visiting the planet, right? I mean, that's how we made this connection to start out with. And doing this, these papers, there's nine of them now, with tonight will be the ninth. I need to say this so that people out there, all y'all already know this, but we have been ridiculed. We have been insulted. We have everything in the world has happened during this teaching that has never happened in the 12 years that I've been teaching anyway. And it's because of the lack of ability to understand that aliens or UFOs are normal. These are just normal beings, just like we've been talking about in the book. There's nothing unusual about them, right? Now, the reason I want to talk about this a little bit afterwards tonight is this. This weekend, Diane and I watched four videos by Dr. Stephen Greer that came out 3 or 4 days ago. Actually, Bill sent me the link to them. Okay, and he said, you need to watch these. And so we went out and we watched 2 Sunday and 2 Monday. And what is on these videos is more important than anything he has said before. It really is. So I want to encourage y'all to go out to YouTube and bring up his site and listen to him for yourself, because it's more information than I could bring you. I couldn't do it justice. But there's a few things in it that affect our entire world. And one of them is this. 100 countries, including China and Russia, have agreed to a non-arms agreement in space. In other words, all these countries have agreed not to send arms up in space. Okay. And why is this important? Because of this. If you watch those videos, you will hear some of the Russian scientists talking, some of the American scientists talking, some of the Indian scientists talking, all these different countries, the scientists that have been in touch with alien civilizations. The United States has documented 57 different types of beings that have visited this planet. 57, okay? And we don't know about any of them. So we have been lied to for years and years and years, since 1920, really, we've been lied to. So our country has known that they've been communicating with other civilizations. And you know what these civilizations are most concerned with? You're not going to believe this. They're concerned with us sending nuclear weapons and weapons of mass destruction into space. And you want to hear why? Remember when we were talking about the dimensions of the universe, how we have the finite dimension, we have the Moronchan dimension, we have the spiritual dimension, and there's multiple dimensions in between each one of these, okay? The aliens that have contacted Russia and other countries are telling them that when we explode a nuclear warhead, it affects our planet, but it affects the other dimensions even more than it affects us. Think about how scary that is. So when we set off warheads, and now we're going to try to send them in space, imagine what that's going to do to the other dimensions in space. It's going to create havoc. Now, the Russian scientists have warned us on these videos that if we start exploding these things in space, that it could crack our planet clean in half. Okay, so what would that mean? That would mean the extinction of every being on this planet. You mm-hmm. think this is important? I think it's important, you know. I think it's important enough to attach it to this video because we've been talking about how the UFOs and these beings that are trying to contact us through dimensions and in the air and all sorts of things are trying to warn us that we're going down the wrong pathway and we need to change our pathway, right? They talk about in this video how many hundreds of contacts have been made with these other species. And all they say is they want to be friendly. They are no threat to our world whatsoever. They want to live just like we do. They want a harmonious universe. They want to be us to be part of the same cosmic family as they are. And that's what this book is all about, our cosmic family, is it not?
Mm-hmm.
Right. I mean, think about it. So how important is this? I think it's the most important thing that's going to happen in this decade. So what they recommended on this video, these videos, is to share this with as much many individuals as humanly possible so that we can try to move our government to sign a treaty so we will not put weapons of mass destruction in space. I think that's the most important thing we could ever do. I really do. So it's y'all's responsibility to share it with your friends and families and all that. I have done everything I can. I don't know what else to do because I'm a teacher of the book. I'm not a teacher of UFO stuff. That's not my calling. That's Dr. Greer's calling. And I think he was called to do this because here he is, he was a emergency room surgeon, had his own life, and he was really literally pulled into doing this, right? I was not pulled into to working with the book. I made a decision back in 1973 that this is the way my life was going to be, and I've stuck with that decision. He was pulled into it, not by his own will, but because people asked him to do it. So if y'all have time, go out, listen to the videos, make your own decision. And this is going to end our UFO and the Urantia book series, though. So I'm not forgetting it. It's just I think we've said everything that we can. If you can't see the connection between the UFOs and the Urantia book and the other beings of the universe, there's nothing I can do more for you, right? I've done everything I can. At least I tried to. And I think y'all all understand this.
Well, it seems that Hollywood needs to quit making all these space war movies.
Of course they do. Of course they do. It's all about fear. You know, it's really funny. When Diane came to sit down tonight, she said, I was just watching TV and they said the same lies that Dr. Greer said yesterday. They're saying that they don't know what these things are in the world that's coming to our planet. They don't know how they work. They don't know who they are. And all of these are lies. They've already reverse engineered all these ships. We have exact duplicates of these ships, both the Tic Tacs, the top looking things. You can go on there, you can see them for yourself. They're out there. So we have vehicles exactly like this that can fly exactly like they do. So these news people are repeating the lies that those in charge in the government of doing this are feeding to them. So we have to stop believing the lies and we have to find out for ourselves. That's all there is to it, right?
How do we look up these videos? How do we look up these videos?
You can look up the videos under Dr. Stephen Greer on YouTube.
Okay.
G-R-E-E-R, I believe is his last name. You can go to YouTube. And you can also look it up under CE5. It's a contact extraterrestrial, I think, five. That it's of the fifth kind is what they call it. Okay, so... go out and look it up. It's worth looking up. I don't know how long the videos will be out there because sooner or later, they're going to want to take them down. They've already censored all the guys in Russia. Let me tell you about Russia. Russia has 750 videos of UFOs and contacts out there on a site. What's the name of that site? You remember, dear? They tag you in the videos, so go watch the videos. But there's a site.
It wasn't Chernobyl, was it?
Huh? No.
It wasn't Chernobyl. No. Okay.
It's something to do with stopping the putting weapons in space. It was something peace.
Has YouTube taken those videos down from Russia?
They have taken the Russian videos down already, I think twice. They put them back up, okay, because of the outrage from all the Russians. Russia actually has a division of ufology, they call it, where they've been researching this since the 50s and 40s and 50s. So, and it's really interesting because one of the ladies from the United States that went over and talked to them about them found out that there are only 1% communists in Russia. Think about that. We've got more communists in the United States than 1%. So, you know, there's nothing to be feared. All the Russians want to do is live their life normally. They don't want to be threatened, just like we don't want to be threatened. So when you talk to the general population and get away from the government stuff, you find out that these are just people just like we are, right? And that's important. We've been programmed over time.
But the, this country's government programs us to believe that the communist government wants to take over the whole world.
They have tried to program it, but the problem is this, Bill. There's a major part of our own government that's not in cahoots with this, okay?
Right.
They don't know any more than we do about it, okay? They do not know about these black op programs, and they certainly don't know about the plan to have an alien invasion using our own vehicles. Okay, we have manufactured alien looking vehicles, and there's a plan to have an alien invasion to scare us all to death, to make us all hate aliens. Okay, so we've been lied to. That's the whole emphasis of the thing. That's why this weapon in space thing has to be taken care of, right? We have to think.
No petition. No signing petitions, no
there's
action
a treaty
being
out there.
Taken by anyone.
No, there's a treaty out there that's already signed by 100 different countries, Russia and China included. But the only company, major country that's not signed it, guess who?
Us.
The United States.
Rest.
Us. Mm. The United
so
States.
So they need to be formed.
Yeah. So it's a problem. It's a major problem. And you know, you people know I love this country. You know I love this country. Always have.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying something bad about our own government, but we have a black government in the background that's spending money on this stuff and pushing this stuff that the regular congressmen, senators, House of Rep, they don't even know about it. Okay, so that's a real problem. Money's being spent on this stuff and no accountability is being done. Okay,
that's so, for the $967,000 hammers.
That's right. That's right. So, y'all have been made aware. I have done everything I know to share it with y'all. So, go out to YouTube, look up Dr. Stephen Greer. You can find him if you just type his name, and he's got two or three different websites there, but it's got these videos. These four we're talking about just came out this week, so it'll be new videos. It'll be at the top. So
that the one I sent you, that was the first one, right?
No, that was the fourth one, Bill.
The fourth one.
Yeah, we watched two of them backwards, and then we went to the first one and went back to them the other way. So there's four of them, and it's of a seminar in on April 21st of this year. So he's got a lot of guests on it. It's different than the other videos that I've already set y'all out, but definitely you need to watch those four, and you definitely need to watch the video on cosmic hoax because that is very, very important. I'm sick of UFOs right now. I'm just up to my, I'm tired of hearing about them, but I'm ready to move on to the mansion worlds and get on something a little more positive. I really am. And I would have never guessed that doing this would have caused the reactions it has. And well, y'all know what went on. And luckily I did not, it was all personal towards me, but I didn't take it personal. I figured it was part of the things that Jesus talked about. You know, if we stuck with what he wants us to teach us, there's going to be people that's going to hate us. That's just all there is to it. That's just the way it is. So,
well, you know, it's too bad that Christianity thinks that they have the mind of Christ.
Well, that's okay that they think that, you know, but that doesn't keep us from being able to enlighten them a little bit each day.
That's right.
And hopefully some of them will find some of these videos, and I hope from the videos, some of them learn different things, you know, because that's why we do it, right? We're just trying to serve God in the best way we know how.
That's right.
That's all we can do. And I actually got this done in an hour. I can't believe this.
Yeah, thank you for your thoughts and your statement, Roger.
Sure. Let's have a short.
So you're saying that you got this thing done because I came late.
That's right, Gary. It's all your fault. Listen, I love you guys greatly. I just can't tell you how much I love you guys.
I enjoyed it.
Yeah, I hope y'all have learned something from this, and we're going to get back to our normal study on Thursday of the Mansion World. So, and then we will eventually get back to paper 16, I promise you.
Yes.
Might be next year, but. All right. Y'all have a great night. I'm going to say a little prayer, and we'll close for the night. Father, thank you for these open hearts and minds. Thank you for bringing us together for these meetings. We thank you for those who listen to them. We thank you for those at home that listen to us and write me wonderful comments sometimes. We thank you for our brothers and sisters in space. We thank you for all these aliens that have tried to contact us and try to bring us along into the cosmic family. We thank you for their efforts. We thank you for your love, Father. We thank you for your son's love. We don't know where we would be without either one of them. We say this in the name of your son, Michael, Jesus of Nazareth. Amen.
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 And
thank you.
Y'all take care.
You too. Thank you so much, Roger.
Oh, you're welcome. My pleasure.